Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
So back here on OMF, Tom Brady did a little talking last night. He was on James Corden's show. He didn't ask for any accountability partners. I checked. I watched the whole interview. Never asked for an accountability partner. But his own partner, Giselle, it was interesting because he said he had a conversation.
And I said, where's my family? Where's my family? And all of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my, you know, my two little ones. And all of a sudden, I saw my wife and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, what more do you have to prove?
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. Right. So I was, I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
It's just, I just find that kind of weird. Like, do you think these two ever talk about his future and when he plans on retiring? Like, after a Super Bowl, she's like, what more do you have to prove? Are we done yet? Like, is that, you didn't think they would have talked coming into it?
Well, here's
like,
what I find.
Even we're in the Super Bowl for 2 weeks. Hey, you know, I'm going to win this thing. Well, is there a chance that if you win it, you're done? No, we've already had this discussion, honey.
I was going to say, can I throw this out? Because he's making light of it and claiming she asked the question or said this right after this. Do you all remember when we sat around and every day we were dissecting and analyzing every episode of Tom versus Time and how, oh my God, this might be the end? And it was a lot more serious then, wasn't it? Listen.
It takes a lot of energy and a lot of intention, and he puts a lot in that, and then everything else can fall out of balance because of it. I think for 6-7 months out of the year, when he's really focused, is definitely like I really take on 100%. You know, I take the kids to school, you know, so that I become a lot more present. Although I feel like most women are the ones who are most present on the I'm sorry to say that.
So it was a little bit more serious then, and now it's kind of laughable.
Well, right. I heard that, and, you know, obviously there's, you know, there's probably an inside joke with them, you know, pillow talking late at night. Ah, you'll never get to stop. No, I will. No. I heard that. I was like, he's going to be the type of guy that the game has to be pulled away from him.
No question.
He won't walk away. He will be an old school, just never. I think it'll have to be the situation where nobody wants to pay him anymore. I don't think he'll walk away. I just don't, or he'll have to get hurt where it's impossible for him to play again. It doesn't look like it. We're talking extensions. You know, you're thinking, oh, 2-year deal. Okay, he's done after two. Nope, doesn't look like that anymore, does it? Now you have a major knee surgery.
And I know she's asking him, like, what more can you have to prove? Almost like, hey, are we done here with this thing yet or right. not? Can we time to move on? But I do think that, you know, if you think like Giselle. You know, she's down there now in Florida. They got this beautiful boat. They're kind of living out in the water. They got a beautiful, you know, house, wherever it might be. I heard it's just off of Miami, whatever. But don't you think she'd be a little bit happier with her setting as opposed to Brookline or as opposed to New England? Like, can we get the hell out of here? Like, you know, even
it
during the season,
like,
I hate leaving the house to go watch you play a game because I got to deal with snow. I got to deal with ice. Can we go warm weather? Just. Like, you would think that she's just in a happier place to sort of play this thing out down there. I would think.
No, I would think, listen, if you're going to be playing football, can I please live in Miami?
Yeah.
And then he's like, what? Yeah, whatever that
she
means.
She just said it all, right?
Whatever
there.
That means.
Go to the beach.
But didn't Brady say that he would absolutely walk away with it when he finally sucks? And what you're saying, Christian, and I think you might be right with this. I think he's one of those guys that just can't walk away
from it. It has to be taken away from him. I just can't see him doing a, you know, Jerome Bettis, a, you know, a Michael Strahan. I would say it was basically pulled away from Peyton Manning. It was pulled away from no one was going to hire him after that Super Bowl win with the Broncos. Nobody. He basically came in on two tires at the end of that season. That was it. He just, hey, listen, just don't mess it up. And that's why I think, I mean, again, I still think they're pillow talking and it's an inside joke to them. Like, he's really never going to quit.
Maybe, but I think it's interesting that, and maybe it's our fault, that we spent time taking that Tom versus Time seriously, talking about Tom Brady and family and all of that other stuff. And now what he's doing is, as you said, pillow talk, and they're joking about it on national TV.
Hi, Lovey.
Hi, Lovey, now that they've won. Mm-hmm. He did address the Patriots fan expectations versus year one with the Bucs.
Yeah, you know, it was very different, you know, because where I was for 20 years was obviously, you know, it was great for me. It was spectacular. I wouldn't have changed anything. And I think that when we were at that point, you know, at the Patriots, everyone at the start of the season would be like, well, who are you guys playing in the championship game?
Sure.
And it always got to be like, you know, the expectations were so not unrealistic. It was just like people jumped ahead of all the intense competition, which in the end for us, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, it's a lot harder than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot harder than that. And I think going into this year was different for me. Because, you know, you go to a different place and that wasn't really the question that was being asked. The question is, you know, can you guys be successful? How are you going to be successful? How are you going to learn your teammates? How are they going to learn you? You know, and the next thing you know, we're thrust into the season. The season starts.
See, that to me was that was real interesting to me. That was the most, you know, intriguing thing of the conversation. Like, what, so if you're looking for new challenges and you're sick of the mundane and you're sick of this, just the you know, just the original version over and over again, it just makes the season just so much more, I don't know, exciting and rewarding.
Oh, less right?
Like, it's like you're just going through all these challenges and all these for the first time. Think about the way the season started, how they adapted, you know, how they ended, like the last 4 weeks of the season. And like how, you know, how they got better. To me, all those were like real, like there's a reason why he was so just, I don't know, you know, excited about it. To me, because that is, he needed that.
Yeah, and it also sounds like a guy that, like, you know, going into the year, it was like he said, a fan base, like, who are you playing in the finals?
Yeah.
It's almost like, the fan base is what it is. We understand that. Like, you know, they've had so much success that you just expect it, right? And it was 9 straight AFC title games. Like, it's just, that's your expectations. But for someone like Tom, I think appreciating, like, team evolving, getting better over time, appreciating the process and how hard it is to get there, to just sort of have everybody feel like it's easy. Just put them there. And not appreciating how hard it was to get there. You know, whereas down in Tampa, they appreciated the whole every step.
Yeah, it's like
every single step. Like how much better they got. Oh my God! Look how much better you're getting, and you're in the NFC Finals. Oh my God, you're in the Super Bowl. Whereas in New England, it was like, whatever, you're putting work in. Yeah, whatever. Sure, you're going to be in the AFC title.
You have to get to the AFC Championship.
There's no appreciation for the process.
You know what it is? It's almost like, I don't know. I hope I can still
how hard it was.
I hope we can still use this phrase. Get the dump button ready. You know, don't talk about the pain. Just show me the baby. Right, that's the way New England fans were.
Apology of the day.
Like, that was, I mean, I honestly got feeling. Listen, forget about the grind, and nobody cares about the challenges, and we only have 2 days off. Oh, and this guy's hurt. No. Just tell us who we're gonna play in the Super Bowl. That was really all we cared about, and that's really his fault. I mean, it's like, you've conditioned
those
the fans.
Right.
Those standards are set that way because how good you were. Like we didn't. I mean, listen. It wasn't like people were trying to dismiss the regular season, but I think as fans, you realize that literally the only important things were the playoff seeding. Are you going to play 2 games or 3 games before you get to the Super Bowl? Are you going to be playing at home or on the road? That's really all that mattered. So, but I do think there is this, like, everything is new and exciting. Like, it almost makes it more rewarding. And he's also seeing this through the eyes of his teammates for the first time.
Yeah, I wonder how much it changes in year two. And as you already said, Christian, he's going through that grind in year two. And eventually, I hate to say it, he's going to get old. It's going to happen.
No.
I'm not sure it's
going to
happen.
It's going to happen to him.
They keep saying that.
It's going to happen to him.
I don't think it is.
I don't know if it is.
Well, get an accountability partner to keep you young. That's what you're going to have to do.
So you would think that, okay, so he gets the knee surgery. So they don't even show you the knee. And all the reports are that it's worse than previously reported. I would say I would 100% agree, because if you can't come back till June, if it's a scope, well, you're back in a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks. This is something more significant. This is... maybe it's ligament damage. And then I would also say with the ability to recover faster because of Alex, I mean, it's June. It wasn't that bad. No, for any other guy, a major knee surgery is going to take you into July.
Which also helps
August.
You got a guy like Bruce Arians that's like, he doesn't even need to show up in the offseason. Yeah. He just sitting in the sidelines with us and coach. I don't need him here. What the hell do I need him for? You know, he's sitting there going, man, this is outstanding.
He didn't have heart surgery.
This is great.
Was that Belichick's line? Yeah. He didn't have
heart
surgery.
But it's like, not only do I have to walk up to you and uncomfortably tell you that I'm not coming, you're actually telling me I can't. You're telling me I don't have to.
Helping
Gronk's probably like, what about me? You know, don't worry about it. Didn't he talk about the Lombardi Trophy toss?
He did. He talked about the Lombardi Trophy toss. Here it is.
Was there any bit of you thinking, what do I do if this goes in the water?
First of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought. It was, this seems like really fun to do. And not to mention, when you get your hands on one of those trophies, there are a lot of really sharp edges on the bottom, where the stand is. Obviously, the ball is what it is. But and then I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
Oh, you even
I'm so happy to Cam.
Whose voice is it that you hear say, no, can you, there's somebody shouts, no, don't do it.
That's my little 8-year-old daughter. The daddy, no.
Oh,
and who could imagine that an 8-year-old girl would have the most sense of anybody in that whole area at the time? Like, she's the voice of reason.
She was the only sober one on the boat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that if it had gone down 80 feet, they would have had to send divers down. And
that would have been great. They should have just left it there. I mean, there are more of them, which is for the record.
There's a zillion of them.
Gronk used one as a baseball bat.
Yeah. I always thought it was, didn't you think it was stupid that they kept the one in which, remember Gronk hit it with a bat?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I do remember that, yeah.
And they ended up keeping that one as opposed to replacing it. Why wouldn't you just replace it?
Because it tells a story.
Oh, is that?
You remember, what's that? Why is this one messed up, Daddy? Well, back in the day, there was a man named Gronk, and he used it as a bat. Is he still with us?
You remember that?
It was awesome.
That was awesome. So there's the family story between Tom and Giselle, and there's another family story. It's amongst the Franconas out in Cleveland. This one's not as pretty. Between Terry Francona and his son, Nick. We get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That fat guy on the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
All right, here we go. Right down TMZ lane, right? This is it. This is Dirty Laundry, and it involves a father and a son now. So if you don't know the Mickey Callaway story, worked for the Indians, hired by the Mets, and then all of this stuff came out about him, womanizing, inappropriate behavior. In 2017, an angry husband repeatedly called the team's fan services department to complain that Callaway was sending pornographic material to his wife. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in this one, guys. And it dates back to the days of the Cleveland Indians. So The Athletic has come out now with the worst-kept secret, what the Indians and MLB really knew about Mickey Callaway's behavior. The Indians apparently recommended him for the job to the Mets. And so that's where they become culpable in all of this. And it's some really nasty, juicy stuff in all of this. And out of nowhere yesterday, the son of Tito Francona, Nick Francona, puts out this statement. I was disappointed to read the reporting in The Athletic this morning. Unfortunately, I cannot say I am surprised. When the news about Mickey Callaway's behavior first came out earlier this year, I confronted my father, Chris Antonetti, and others in the Indians. I wanted to know why they didn't say anything to me when the Mets hired Mickey Callaway and they gave him a strong endorsement. My father lied to me and said he didn't know. Additionally, I think he and his colleagues failed to understand what is acceptable behavior and what isn't. I confronted my father again this morning, and it's clear he simply doesn't get it. I'm hesitant to get into the personal details of my family situation, but my father and I do not have a particularly close relationship, largely as a result of disagreements about his conduct, some of which has been reported over the years and some of which is not. Now, if you go on his Twitter account, he goes back and forth with people. Some of them that are trying to defend the father and basically saying, you know, keep your dirty laundry.
You got daddy issues.
Yeah, stop it. And he just confronts them and throws more stuff out there with Francona. So Terry Francona comes out yesterday with the media and basically saying that nobody deliberately covered things up for Mickey Callaway.
I know there's probably a lot of questions today about what was written in The Athletic, and I fully respect that. And I know the organization is trying to is putting out a response. You know, out of respect to that and the Major League Baseball investigation, right now is just not the right time to respond to some of the questions I'm sure you have. I do hope at some point we're able to, because I think we need to. And just know that we take this very, very serious. I apologize, but that's kind of where it is today, okay? And I just want to let you guys know, because I knew there would be questions. I have never worked in a place where I have more respect for people than here. And I've been very fortunate to work for some wonderful people. And I believe that in my heart. Again, I don't think today is the day to go into details and things like that. I do hope there is a day, because I think it would be good. And I think it's necessary. Nobody's ever deliberately covered up for anybody. I can tell you that.
So what he's responding to, his son just absolutely destroying him on Twitter. and basically make bringing it home, talking about his, Terry's conduct. He said, I love all my kids unconditionally. That's a very difficult thing to see. To deal with it publicly is hurtful.
I would say, and I know Chris Antonetti, he was there when I was there in Cleveland too. Great guy. And coming out and just saying that, you know, it was, we didn't know anything about it, to me, this athletic story just blows that theory up.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it completely blows that theory up. I mean, there's quotes, there's people that were in the Indians organization at the time, you know, former executives, not named, anonymous, whatever, just saying, yeah, went all the way to higher ups. Like, it was, you know, the whole thing with Mickey Callaway got involved with this woman and who was married, and they had a relationship, and the husband found out. And this dude's just peppering when he found out. He and his wife kind of stayed together, right? But he's peppering Cleveland left and right. Like, this was a big, big deal, you know, in Cleveland, according to this. And it wasn't just the husband talking about it. There was others that confirmed, yeah, this guy was always contacting HR, you know, and we had to discuss it. We had to go within to the point where, at one point, one of the lawyers for the Indians said that, actually, we talked to Terry Francona. The quote was, Tom, I'm not losing my pitching coach over this. So it's, you know...
In other words,
to sit there and deny
important.
It, athletic story sort of blows up the fact that they didn't know anything that was going on.
So what is this? So why would the son get involved?
First off, the son worked with the Mets when they hired Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Nick's had some issues now. His son, he got involved with Gabe Kapler out in the Dodgers.
Correct.
Yeah, actually, I think my part of this Verdugo kind of thing that happened with the other minor leaguer.
That's right. Yep.
And he came forward. He felt like he got blackballed. And he felt like Gabe Kapler fired him. He filed a grievance against the Dodgers. This whole thing has been a mess. And now he went to the New York Mets. I don't know. Did the New York Mets sit there and did Nick Francona vouch for Mickey Callaway because his dad gave him a good recommendation? Only to find out what he really was? Did they not, you know, look bad upon Nick Francona because his father, he felt like, lied to him about Mickey Callaway? I have no idea, but he is not afraid to get out there and speak his mind.
No, he's done it before.
Now, most of the stuff he's talked about, though, is in the right.
It is. I think he also has some serious issues with his father.
Yes.
I think it's pretty obvious. And some of that deals with his mother and the previous relationships that that Terry has had. I would say this, that in the old days, when you had situations like this, usually an organization would move you out, but they would give you a recommendation to go elsewhere. So you became somebody else's problem, right? And you were away from them. You can't do that anymore. You can't.
I just can't. I don't know. What's the end goal here for Nick Francona? Playing this out in the public.
I think that's probably his personality. Wouldn't you say that's his personality? I mean, Lou just told you he's done this before. I just think that's his personality. He's one of those guys that feels...
It is strange,
strong
though,
about
right?
It.
Because it's like, you know, he brings it out in the public, and everyone's like, well, why are you going to bring it public? And he kind of throws his dad under the bus. He says, well, I tried to make it private, but he lied to me and didn't talk to me. It's like, okay, I get it. So you have private conversations. But again, why'd you go public with it? Like, okay, you and your father had some bad private conversations. You felt like he lied to you privately. But still, why are you going public with
it? To me, that's my question is, why are you just mad at your dad that you want to you know build
him
up to be
deep rooted?
There's deep rooted daddy issues, like legit at daddy issues.
He tweeted last night, standing up for what is right means doing it all the time, even when the people close to you are in the wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Totally agree. By the way, totally agree.
Sure,
and also when it's convenient and you benefit from it, totally agree. Totally agree. It's a great point. What a stand-up guy.
But it's
what a stand-up guy.
The article in Athletic is amazing, though. It's like, what, the worst kept secret in baseball, pretty much? When your nickname is Dick Pick Mick.
What's his nickname?
Dick Pick Mick.
God,
like,
you said
I think
clean.
Mickey Callaway, like, I think it's like, you know, and this was throughout the entire article. Everybody, everybody knew about this
Dick.
Guy. It started when he was in the minor leagues. You know that he's the first guy, the first time I've ever charged a mound was him.
Really?
Yeah, he was the guy.
What happened?
Wait, you charged a mound at him?
Yeah. He was pitching with
we had him on the show.
Yeah.
That's right.
The guy we had in the show. Triple A in Durham. I was down. The guy just got sent down. He drilled me twice because Michael Coleman pimped a home run off him. So now I know why. Yeah, the guy's got issues. But no, he's just throughout the whole article, it's everywhere. Like, he's out there as a pitching coach working with the starting pitcher in the bullpen, and he's leaning up against the bullpen talking to, like, women in the stands. like throughout his whole career. Like, he's a good pitching coach, but he's all over the map. He's just all about chasing. All about it. Texting people 5:30 before games. Like, just
it's like cell phones and the worst thing that could ever been invented for him.
Well, for years they've been able to hide this stuff, and that's why I say
it's actually amazing.
The Indians are making a huge mistake. That's the way it was handled years ago. That you'd move him off and say, okay, let him go to the Mets. You know, he'll be their problem, and you move him on and you give him a recommendation. You can't do that anymore. You just can't.
But see, I think the Indians can sit there. I think their defense is like, listen, he had an affair with this woman. Like, that's his defense. I mean, that's his offense, rather. He had an affair with a woman. You know what I mean? But they don't know, like the harassing and the texting and the tweeting and making women in the office uncomfortable. I don't know. I guess they should probably know that, too. But maybe they could just hide behind. He had an affair with a woman. That's what we knew about. And the husband was pissed. Who wouldn't be pissed? Right? We said, Mick, don't do that anymore. You play a lot of guys that are like, you know, what do you think? Would you recommend him? Yeah. I mean, he likes the ladies. He likes to go out a little bit. So liking the harassing ladies and sending pics and just terrorizing some women who aren't interested in you are two different things.
It's like Geraldo Rivera defending Andrew Cuomo. Come on, he's out in Albany. There's nothing to do out there. He's just making some funny jokes. It's not our fault. His fault that they don't get it.
Yeah. He's a lonely guy in a boring state.
Well, that's
a lonely guy in a boring state. What do you expect him to do? Read a book? That is. Work out? Be accountable?
I don't think Cuomo's going to survive this thing. But the weird thing is that he's not going to survive it because of the sexual harassment stuff. The worst crime really is the seniors who were moved from the hospital to the nursing homes and died. Okay, those people are dead right now. I'm not making light of the sexual harassment. I'm just saying nobody did a thing about that, and now the sexual harassment is what's going to get him. Because that is the big issue right now. But it's weird reading this whole stuff, isn't it, guys? This whole Francona stuff, and it's creepy. And then you get the son, going up against the dad, and it's nasty.
Well, it's actually the Mickey Callaway stuff, you know.
Mickey
it's not
Callaway
exactly
stuff,
Terry
right.
Francona stuff. It's
right. You're right. It is Mickey Callaway stuff. And what's happened is the son is now making it personal with the dad, and then talking.
As he should. He's doing the right thing.
But he's talking about his actions, the father's actions. So how does that tie into what we're dealing with Mickey Callaway? I think it becomes a little bit confused, though, Tyler, and that is he accusing his dad of anything close to what Mickey Callaway's doing? What are we saying?
He kept quiet. He lied. He didn't tell you everything about him. That's what he's accusing him of. Tyler, you say he did the right thing. He doesn't have a good relationship with his dad. I don't know. I think you keep that private. That's all.
I think he sees a bigger problem in Major League Baseball, and I'm sure you would know more about this, that it's not just Mickey Callaway who does this, and I'm sure Nick Francona knows publicly that there are a lot of guys in baseball who do exactly what Mickey did. And so it's a chronic issue, and
I play with guys that chase women all the time.
Yeah.
But I never knew guys of, like, you know, harassing women.
Jared Porter, Mickey Callaway.
Sending pictures of people. Yeah, like creepy stuff that we've seen, basically former Mets people, a couple of people formerly. I mean, I know Jared was here in Boston, but you know, I never play with a guy that, I don't know, that stuff maybe you don't even know. I know a lot of guys that are like, they chase women left and right every single city we go to, but I don't know harassing over and over again, making people feel uncomfortable. It's just that they got a little side piece in every city.
Yeah, sending pornographic pictures probably is a little over the edge. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I have a really good rule about dip. If I'm awake and I'm not eating, it's in.
Man, Denny.
Good way of going through life.
I mean, I think he would probably be a show favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what other ways we can use this guy. Like, I mean, what other capacity? So if he's training Mac Jones, if he's training Gardner Minshew, is he training anybody else, Tyler? Is there anybody else in his stable that is current and actually in the league?
He has the Jaguars' backup quarterback, Jake Luton.
Oh, yeah, Jake Luton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple quarterbacks in the SEC.
I don't care about Jake Luton. Denny
Thompson. I wonder if he'll work with Trevor Lawrence when he's a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah, when he does, we'll reach out and book him back on the show.
Well, we have another
good friend of the show, Denny Thompson. Right, yeah. Thompson?
Yeah. Denny Thompson, yeah. We have another strong endorsement to bring Cam Newton back.
We do.
By a player, we do. You ready for this?
Sure.
Wide receiver N'Keal Harry. Add him to your list of endorsements for Cam Newton's return to the New England Patriots. Quote, this out of the Boston Globe today, I would absolutely love to have Cam back. He helped me so much throughout the season, not only on the field with football stuff, but with off-the-field stuff, just more about being a professional, about life. He really helped me in all aspects of life last year, so I really do appreciate him for that.
Not surprised.
At the same time, he was a very fun person to play with. I would love to have him back and be able to play with him again. Is there a possibility that if Cam doesn't come back and the Patriots just ignore him entirely, that there are going to be guys down there in Foxborough that are pissed off?
No. No, no. But if you gave him all the options, they'd all say yes. See, I'm not surprised, especially N'Keal Harry, because I would say out of all the receivers, I would say Cam Newton probably kind of, you know, mentored him the most, kind of doted on him the most, right? Yeah. Just tried to get the most, tried to get as much, challenged him the most, tried to be a father figure to him the most based on his skill set and how desperately they needed him to play big. So remember the podcast that he was on? So they were going over a bunch. I Am Athlete with Chad Ochocinco and the bunch. Here's what Cam was saying about N'Keal Harry there.
I do think Doughboy, I call him N'Keal Harry.
Mm.
He was battered. There's a real thing when they say the New England way, the Patriot way. It's an aura where, bro, you're a machine. Like literally, when I did one of the games, I gave them my routine. Bro, I'm waking up at 4:20.
Yeah, that's good. So the point is, anytime he was asked about N'Keal Harry, anytime he was, I guess, in a conversation with somebody in the talent or skill position players came up, N'Keal Harry was always the guy that he kind of used. Like, he was always the guy, not Jacoby Myers. It was N'Keal.
It's so hard to take these comments and be like, well, that's it. Bring him back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, face it. So N'Keal Yang wrote this article in the Globe, and it's like she calls up N'Keal Harry and says, hey, how would you like to have Cam come back? No comment.
Yeah, what else is he going to say?
Yeah, but right. So, and listen, I'm sure that he did help him on the field. Like he said, he's a great overall vibe every day. Every single day brought energy and just a certain vibe to the locker room, to the field. We could totally see that. But, if you're the Patriots, you say, well, if N'Keal Harry wants him back, then he's such a vital part of this offense. I mean, he's the guy that keeps this offense going. You want to keep him happy.
Keeps it loose.
You want to keep N'Keal Harry happy, right? You want to bring back his guy. But is N'Keal Harry of any kind of clout now?
What do you think he would say if they asked him about Brian Hoyer?
I hope he comes back. Brian was great.
Great guy. Dude, nobody knows the system like Brian Hoyer.
Great guy.
Nobody knows the system.
We found that out in Kansas.
He's seen so much. He's helped me out with a lot of different things. Watched film with me.
How about Jared Stidham?
Love Jared Stidham.
Love him. Love him. What a kid.
He's the future.
Young kid, I tell you, very mature.
He works hard.
Leader. Hard worker.
Yeah.
Really good player.
So it's a bunch of BS. So she writes on here, Harry lauded pre-draft for his catch radius and ability to catch to create separation. Didn't name any specific areas of focus for this offseason. I'm a little concerned about that. I feel like I can improve in every aspect, he said. That's what I've been working on. At this stage in the offseason, Harry has not had a chance to work out with Newton or any of his other teammates. Instead, he's been spending time with a machine called the Seeker. It's a robot.
What?
The Seeker. Wait a minute. Maybe
Seeker.
This is the next quarterback for the New England Patriots. The Seeker. created by a Dallas-based sports robotic company, the Seeker is essentially an automated advanced jugs machine simulating passes from a quarterback. He uses it in his backyard, and he does it constantly. I've been running every route, slants, fades, outs, ins, basically everything, curls. I can do everything with the machine.
They call me the Seeker.
No, wrong one.
It's not the Who?
That's not Seeker. It. None of us have even heard that song before. So, all right, I have, oh, okay, so here's what the Seeker is. Think of an old school Gatling gun. I think that's what you say, right? It's like the old school, you have a big cylinder, right, and just you kind of crank it, and it shoots. A modern day version of that, but with footballs. It's actually pretty intense. So this thing whips out footballs, and you can set it up. You can do whatever you want to with it. There's about, six balls on the cylinder. This thing is insane. So you can run any route with it. Oh, this is crazy. This is something out of, like, Total Recall.
Yeah, he says he can run slants, fades, outs, ins, everything. Curls, you name it.
And you don't need a quarterback.
But
you
I just think, let the Seeker do it. I always felt like self-scouting is probably the most important thing for professional athletes. Being able to look at yourself and knowing what you need to work on. So when he says I feel like I can improve in every aspect, that's what I've been working on, I would agree with him.
Yeah, he's honest.
He can work every aspect of his game needs improvement.
This thing is insane.
Yeah, but here's the only issue I have with this.
I want one of these.
Okay. See how much it is. See how much it is.
How much does it cost? Okay, how
long? Why don't you go get one? That way you could go out there and just run about 4 or 5 before you drop dead.
Yeah, exactly.
From running too much.
I'm gonna say, okay, you guys just guess real quick as I look it up.
No, how much?
I have the number if you want.
Oh, you do? Go ahead. How much does it cost?
The early versions cost $38,000. The Seeker will now run you $50,000.
$50,000?
The co-founders say they expect the price to increase as they refine the technology.
Go get them, Christian. Let us know how it works.
Yeah, they could.
Can we come over and play with you?
It's like a new car.
Jeez, I'd rather just throw a tennis ball against the wall.
But here's what concerns me. Here's what concerns me. We're wasting our time right now talking about how N'Keal Harry is improving his game with some robot that's firing off passes to him. Last offseason, we spent the time talking about the foot doctor. Remember him?
Yeah.
And how he was improving his footwork.
That worked
and
well.
He was going to be such a better quarterback.
He's not a doctor, guys.
No, how did that work out?
It's the footwork king.
Footwork king, royalty.
It's a monarch is what it is.
Does he feel any pressure heading into year 3? No, Harry said. To be honest, I'm just having fun with it and enjoying the game. As for his goals for next season, I just want to be able to play to the expectation that I put on myself. And at the end of the day, I just want to win. That's all I really want.
Are we going to – okay, so he's saying all the right things. Here's a guy that does all the right things, works his ass off, identifies problem areas. He can't run routes. He just doesn't have it. Or it's the routes that they ask him to run. He's not any good at it.
He can now with the Seeker.
You got to give him – yeah, I think the – it's called the Monarch Seeker. Monarch Seeker is what it's called. I feel like we should give him a one more mulligan.
No, he has one more year.
No, one more mulligan before you completely write him off. I know he's got one more year, but at this point in time, 2 years in the league, two different quarterbacks, really two different systems.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's anything. I think he's a bust.
Okay, so you're officially on record he's a bust.
One more year, and then he'd be cut. Like, one more year. Like, next year he's got to catch, like, 65, 70 balls.
See, I feel like, you know, there's been other positions that, you know, they just, another team gives them just a whole new different perspective and they become, you know, a big part of that team. I just don't know if that's here. Not the way they use them. I don't know. And maybe they just, but I feel like he's just too talented. So is it the fact that it's a round, square peg, round hole type thing? Like, they're forcing the issue, trying to turn him into a receiver that he just won't be. And if they can't get anything out of him, is it the quarterback's fault or the fact that they're asking him to do things he just can't physically do?
Well, which brings me to the point where I think it's very important to have a quarterback that can throw the football, not Cam.
Or a robot.
Just a guy that can throw the football to find out what you have in this kid. Right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, he could go out next year and run better routes, you know, and catch, you know, 4 balls on 8 targets. And we can sit there and say, well, 4 catches. But, you know, if it was a better quarterback, maybe that's 6 catches. Maybe that's 7 catches. Maybe he puts together a 75-catch season instead of a 48-catch season because somebody missed him a dozen times, right? 2 dozen times. That's why I think you need to bring a quarterback in here to find out if Devin Asiasi is any good.
See,
if N'Keal Harry's any good.
There's the physical aspect of the game in any position. Now, there's been a lot of rumors going around, some that I have heard, just about N'Keal Harry's mental makeup. Like, is he capable of playing in the NFL? So I don't know if you guys remember, but Tom E. Kern kind of went into a little bit more detail as far as his mental makeup and if he can make it in the NFL or not.
They dip in with a guy who's just not suitable for the rigors of NFL football at the age of 22. And it was exhibited during the first training camp he was here. An ankle sprain laid him low from August until November. I watched him in Tennessee when the Patriots had joint practices down there. After he finished lifting, he walked out on the fields, and the teams are practicing on three fields, two teams. And I'm watching N'Keal Harry, first-round wide receiver, barefoot, walking around, trying to find some place to bide his time, tossing a ball up in the air. Meanwhile, the ones are going full bore with Tom Brady throwing to Braxton Berrios and whatever other Scribini was down there against the ones of the Tennessee Titans. And you have your first-round wide receiver pick wandering barefoot, looking for something to do.
Barefoot, walking around barefoot.
Guys, that's a legitimate concern. As you read this Nicole Yang piece, she's talking about while he's not working out, he's been relaxing with his family, playing video games. He and his close friends are also planning on opening a gym in Scottsdale, Arizona, where he's been spending most of his offseason. All we care about back here is, can he be a legitimate top flight NFL receiver? Now, she does ask the question, and what would you say to those doubting him after his first two NFL seasons? Quote, "I don't have anything to say to them," Harry said. "I do this for the people that believe in me, the people that have always supported me. I do this to perform to my own expectations. Nobody's expectations are going to surpass the expectations I have for myself." To the naysayers, that's you, Lou.
Yeah.
"I don't really have anything to say to Lou Merlone. I'm not worried about Lou Merlone.
By name.
I'm pretty unfazed by Lou Merlone."
This guy's driven, huh?
Yeah. I'm
what do you say
about
to the doubters?
Yeah.
"I don't care. What are you any pressure in year three? No. What are you doing now? Just, I'm having fun.
Yeah. Video games.
I'm just trying to improve all aspects. I'm just enjoying it." So you're enjoying it. You're enjoying it. You're enjoying being a first-round pick and having, what, 19 catches, 33 catches? That's a lot of fun for you? It shouldn't be a lot of fun for you. You should actually be pissed. You should be pissed off about how your career has gone so far for the first 2 years. You should be pissed off to want to come out here and shove it right up all your doubters, everyone, right up the you-know-whats. Instead, it's, I'm good.
To me, that's actually my biggest concern.
Yes, I would agree.
Because talent, if you put, just use him as an example, if you put Edelman's mentality into his body, if they switched, so he had, you have N'Keal Harry's body.
How about Jacoby Myers' mentality into his
just
body?
Just as good. Pick any of them.
Just not a first-round draft pick that is just content in having a sucky career and not really don't want to go out there and prove anybody wrong.
But isn't that part of it, though? That is a big portion when it comes to when you start judging guys that make it and guys that don't. Guys with all this unbelievable, just God-given talent don't have the right mental makeup to do anything with it. So they'll get by because guys, they're a first-round pick. They take their shirts off. They're like, holy crap, this dude won't be great. An Adonis. He was chiseled from stone. Yeah. So, no. In my system, he'll work.
That's what you need in every athlete. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care if you're a first-round pick, fourth-round pick, 60th-round pick. Like, that's the stuff you can't find in combines and sit-down meetings because they can fake their way through that. You want to be great? Yeah, I want to be great. And then you watch him play, and you're like, this guy don't want to be great.
Enthusiasm.
Watch him work. He don't want to be great. that's the drive, the fire, all that stuff.
May become preeminent. He's expected to have enthusiasm.
I don't know if people are impressed by this article here. I'm actually
more
convinced.
Yeah, I am too.
That he's nothing.
Yeah,
well, that's my point. So no mulligan, no double mulligan.
No, and I think they probably missed out. The Patriots missed out on all that stuff because they looked at the talent. They looked at the catch radius. They looked at the size. They looked at all of that stuff. But did they really delve into all of the other stuff that you really have to do these days? And that's why it's going to be so difficult with this year's draft, because I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of that done. There probably will be a lot of mistakes in this year's draft. But, boy, this is not an encouraging comments when you look at
it. Well, and I would say, think about his his development so far in the NFL has been Tom Brady, no patient having discipline driven, you know, Tom Brady, expecting way too much from a guy that couldn't do it, especially with injuries. You talk about leaving a guy behind, like Cam Newton's got it wrong. Like N'Keal Harry was left behind.
Yeah.
His rookie year. We can't wait for you.
Doughboy.
We changed all the calls. Catch up. And then he gets with Cam Newton. And then he gets hurt again. So, I mean, you just haven't had one year from beginning to end where he can prove everybody wrong. And I mean, think if it isn't this year, it's never going to be.
I was going to say, is it possible that they go through camp this year, and we're going to have a full camp, and they go through camp, and before they start the season, they sit there and say, we're not carrying him this year. It's not working.
Get in line to be a long
I
list of first round draft
I don't
picks.
Know about, I don't know about that this year. Because I don't know if they're going to be able to load up at that position enough to sit there and say, we can't afford to. You know, even if he's your fourth wide receiver, you got to give him another look. I don't think you can give up on him in 2 years. I just don't think you're deep enough. I mean, if you had a wide receiving core like Tampa Bay, sure. Yeah, well, whatever. If you got an opportunity to put a wide receiving group like that together, absolutely.
Well, suppose they get active and they do go out there and get receivers and finally say, you know what? We look at N'Keal Harry and we don't think he can do it. It would not surprise me because the first 2 years have just been awful, and this thing is not encouraging to hear this interview today. All right, this hour of OMF has been brought to you by Feldman Surveyors. At Feldman, they get it right from the ground up. Have you changed your mind on the Boston Celtics? Are you convinced now that they are back? How about Kemba? Is he back? And we'll get to the Patriots free agents as well, all coming up in the fourth and final hour of OMF.